Hallelujah.
Have you met the man from Galilee? Who claims to be the living way? And have you seen the look of love that he gives? Or felt the power that his words convey? Once you've met the man from Galilee, storms and makes blinded eyes to see. You will never be the same again. He will change your the man from Galilee, who claims to be the Son of God, and have you followed him to Calvary? Or traced the path that his steps have trod? For once you've met the man from Galilee, he who calms the storm and makes blinded eyes to see. Again, he will change your life and set your spirit free. Oh, you will never be the same again. Change your life and set your spirit free.
Blessings for the Easter weekend. We trust that you will have a wonderful time with family and also in commemorating what Jesus Christ did for the whole world. Amen. What a blessing to be a child of God. Lift your hands and we pray. Father, we ask for your blessing, your greatness. We ask that the Holy Spirit will be present here with us today. As we remember what the Lord has done for us, we give you thanks and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. We welcome everyone. Doesn't matter where you come from. You are so welcome, so welcome, so welcome. As the dancers were dancing now, time is a bit limited. Otherwise, I wanted to pray for them. Those little girls, you know. Because Judas betrayed the Lord in this play. And my mind went back to those girls who danced for us some years ago. And they've all fallen by the wayside, except Jamie. The whole gang. And I realized that people don't realize and understand the importance of obedience to God's word. Every Sunday, or whenever you come to church, you have a pastor, a shepherd, who speaks God's word to you. And the word is full of instructions. But if you don't obey the instructions, then these things happen to you. God's word is yes, it is amen. What it says will accomplish. So I was thinking of them, and I thought I need to pray for them. Lest also they are like the previous group. May they dance till they become adults for God. And also the play people, the play. Beautiful. We need to bind the curse of the play. That the Judas here don't become a real Judas. Amen. But I want to preach because, don't you think I made the wall nice for you today? What a blessing. It's a special Good Friday service. Anyway, it's the 21st here this afternoon. So we were working with those people and said, okay, we'll have our service and then we will let them in. So I don't want to take much time. That's why we didn't let Virgil sing. But I on a Wednesday morning, I sing for my team. I have a group of people who come to hear me preach on a Wednesday. It's not a huge group, but a group that's really hungry for God. And before I preach for them, I always play and sing something for them. So I asked them permission if I could share something, some of my singing with you. Amen. They have bought my CDs and everything. My mother used to love my mother bought me a little guitar. I think I was 13 or 14. And I couldn't play at all. I didn't know how to mix. I'm not musically inclined. Genuinely not. My wife always laughs at me when I'm dancing because my steps are not as off the beat. And you see, my son has also inherited my DNA. But I think the Lord is not interested in our performance for people. God is always looking at your heart. Amen. I don't know how David danced when he danced before the Lord. But his wife also said to him, your dancing is not nice. So the wives must be careful when they are rebuking their husbands. When they are singing or when they are dancing. Hallelujah. So I want to sing this song because it's Easter. We buried Auntie Lily last week, and at the memorial service I was preaching, and a gentleman sang this song, and he got the words all mixed up, but he still blessed my heart. Amen. You know, the old Pentecostals used to say something that I believe is true. He say, "Moet toch nie luister na die stem nie. Luister net na die woorde." Amen. So how am I going to do this? Where's the guys? I can't keep a mic and sing. Will you appreciate my singing? So on Sunday, drop the mic. Sunday, I want to pray for those girls, okay? Those dancing girls. And then also all the youth that did the play and so on. That God will touch their hearts. difficult? All right, I'll stand back. Can you hear me at the back?
Yes.
Can you hear my instrument?
Yes.
Robin, don't push it too much. You wash my eyes with tears that I might see the glory of Himself revealed in me. He found it full of fear.
You join me in the second chorus.
He washed my eyes with tears that I might see.
Lay steady word.
The broken heart that I had, it was good for me, but it tore it all apart, and it looked deep inside. He found it full of fear and foolish pride. He swept away the thing that made me blind, and then I saw the cloud, they were silver lined, and now I understand was best for me. Jesus washed my eyes with tears that I might see. He washed my eyes with tears that I might see. The glory of Himself revealed in me. I did not know that He had wounded hands till I saw the blood one day upon the sand, and I saw the marks of shame. I wept and I cried, 'cause He was my substitute. For me He died, and now I understand what's best for me. Jesus washed my eyes with tears that I might see. And now I understand was best for me, that He washed my eyes with tears that I might see. That He washed my eyes with tears I might see. You may be seated. Let me get to the word quickly, a short word of the Lord for this morning, and then we will all share the table of the Lord. Amen. Is that a good idea? I enjoyed the play this morning. It was beautiful, and not really knowing that I would be sharing some of these things that they said in the play. You remember when the man was on the cross here, the young man who played Jesus, he shouted two things. If you were paying careful attention, what were the two things that he shouted? Don't be afraid. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Then there was something else he shouted. He said, it is finished. Amen. This morning, shortly, if I can, sometimes I say I'm going to preach so many points, then I never get to it. So I'm trying always to change the topic and say just some things. My sermon is actually called The Seven Sayings of Jesus While He Was on the Cross. The seven things He said when He was on the cross. Hallelujah. John chapter 19, verse 15. John chapter 19, verse 15. Away with Him, they cried or they yelled. Away with Him, crucify Him. What? Crucify your king, Pilate asked. We have no king but Caesar. The leading priest shouted back. This is a very, very powerful verse in the Bible. Away with him, they held. Away with him. Crucify him. What? Crucify your king? Pilate asked. We have no king but Caesar. The leading priest shouted back. Verse 16, please. Then Pilate turned Jesus over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus away. Verse 17. Carrying the cross by himself, he went to the place called Place of the Skull in Hebrew, Golgotha. Keep going. There they nailed him to the cross. Two others were crucified with him, one on either side with Jesus between them. And Pilate posted a sign over him that read, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, or Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. May the Lord bless the reading of His word and the preaching of His word. Amen. Now, some years ago, I went to Israel, and I promised that one day we will take some of you with us to Israel. Because it's only when you come there, then the Bible really starts to become a picture book for you. And you see the places that is written of in the Gospel of John, Mark, Matthew, and Luke. And this place of the skull I saw there when I went to Jerusalem. But one of the places that's really, really traumatic there, it's got nothing really to do with the crucifixion, but it's the Jewish museum, the Holocaust museum. It's called the Yad Vashem. It's one of the stops that they will always take you to when you do the Jerusalem or the Holy Land tour. And it's the museum that explains to the people how the Jews were murdered, annihilated, and killed in the thousands of millions. And you really feel different when you come out there. You are affected because it's like somebody taking your hand and swiping a lot of ants off a table. It's beyond description how they were killed, tortured, separated from their families. Throughout history, this terrible thing, you know. But this verse that we started with is a verse that shows the rejection of the king when they came to him, to them. Pilate said, yes, your king. And the leader said, no, Caesar is our king. You see. So many people would say, how could God be so cruel to kill all these people or to have them killed? But you see, it's not God The choice is yours. They chose to reject Jesus, and they end and their children's children face tragedy. So we all face tragedy because we have a free choice. We present you at the king. What will you decide to take? They said, no, no. Caesar is our king. But we believe that Jesus Christ is our king. Amen. He's not just the king. He's the king of all kings. Hallelujah. And he's the Lord of all our lords. Hallelujah. Now, there are seven things that Jesus said when he was on the cross. The Gospels don't all say them together, but if you read in the different Gospels, you get a clear picture. Seven times he spoke while he was on the cross. How it is put chronologically, we don't really know fully, because Mark only says a few, Luke says a few, and Matthew says a few. But he said them all when he was on the cross. And seven is a very important number. Many things in the Bible are not just for speck and bunches. Many things are symbolisms. Many numbers are important. And this morning as we were read, it's symbolic of what? Of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Colors are important. The Bible is deep, very deep. One day I sat with Benny Hinn. I just sat with him once, but I keep referring to it because it was such an important, powerful few minutes I had there. And he was explaining how Jesus is found from Adam in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. He said in every book of the Bible, you will find Jesus there in symbols and in pictures. Are you with me? And then even he later started to say, not in every book, in every chapter. I mean, there is no deep. Say deep. Yeah, deep. Like when Joshua came, sent the spies to Jericho, it was Rahab who hung out a red scarlet line. Are you with me? But it wasn't just red by chance. The red is the blood will save you when death is coming. Yeah, when hell is coming, it is the blood. When we see the blood, when we see the red scarlet line, we will pass by your house. We will kill the others, but you will be safe. Hallelujah. It's one example. So seven is important. Seven is the number of God. Because seven is the number of perfection. Hallelujah. In 6 days, God worked, and on the seventh day, he said, I've done it all. It's perfect. And God saw that it was good. Hallelujah. Man's number is six. God's number is seven. Six is lower than seven. Six cannot attain to seven. Are you listening? Man can never be higher than God. And if you see, Joshua was told to walk around Jericho seven times. He was first told, get seven priests. Give them seven trumpets. Let them march for 7 days. And let them blow the trumpet seven times. The perfect number of God. And Jesus, when he was on Calvary, he uttered seven things. Now, somebody once said that the greatest display of God's wisdom is on Mount Calvary. Because Corinthians tells us that God created the world with all his power. And if you see the creation of human beings and our babies born, our flower is our little seed pushes its way through the ground. How the lily pushes its way through the ground. You say, wow, God is great. God is wise. I mean, a little blob of seed becomes a human being with so many parts, lungs, kidneys. You can't understand. You say, God is great. But the greatest, according to Corinthians 1 and 2, the greatest wisdom of God is seen on the cross of Calvary. It's not in the creation. Greater than the creation was God's plan that man would fail him. But I have a plan for man. Hallelujah. And my plan is to send my son to go to the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. So the first saying of Jesus is this one. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was hanging on the cross, and the religious leaders were mocking him. The soldiers were also mocking him. Hulle het gey gemaak. Net soos die kleerlinge kan gey maak. They were saying many, many things. One of the things was, if you are the Son of God, like you say you are, why don't you take yourself from the cross? And the chief priests, they also sarcastically made remarks to him. But Jesus made a statement that shows us the mercy of God. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Hallelujah. The mercy of God. The mercy of God speaks about to escape the judgment of God. As a mens verkeerd doen, dan moet hy gestraf word. When anybody does wrong, he must be punished. But the mercy of God prolongs your judgment. In ander woorde, ostel jou saak uit. Hey! Ostel jou saak uit vir verdere verhoor. You were extended mercy because you are escaping judgment. You should have been judged. You should have been crucified. You see, but God in his mercy, his wonderful mercy, mercy rewrote my life. Rightfully, if we must judge you according to the books, you, I'm not talking to the neighbor next to you, I'm talking to you. If it wasn't for God's mercy, you should have been far down the pits. You would have been worse than what you are today. But his mercy, he gives mercy. He's a God of mercy. And the Bible says his mercies are new every morning. Hey, just think about what you did yesterday. Nou kom sit jy hier soos 'n heilige broer en suster. Maar ons weet wat jy gedoen het. Alright, ons los wat jy gedoen het. Wat het jy gedink? What did you think? But his mercy, he will rewrite your life. Amen. Your mistakes, he will turn into miracles. Your fears, he will turn into joy. He's a God of mercy. I mean, you think about you. Will you say, Father, forgive them? For they know not what they do. You rather pray the prayer of Paul. You say, he did me great harm. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. May the Lord repay him for the deeds he have done. Is dit nie ons as die dierbares? Ons wil graag hê die Here moet revenge. We are people of revenge. Ons wil die bloed optel. But Jesus is different to any man. That's why we celebrate him today. He said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, Paul was a murderer. He went around organizing the killing of the early church leaders. But then when God changed his life, he mentioned it in his books. He said, I did this because I did not know. You see, I did not know I was doing wrong. And that's why the words of Jesus become so real. Many people, because they are blind, they don't know what they're doing. They also have much to say about the church. I sometimes laugh when I hear what your husbands and wives say about the church. They're not even in the church. They don't attend church. Then they say, what's with the kerk, Mark, so and so? The heathen want to tell the church how to run the church. Forgive. But forgive them. For they know not what they do. It's only when the scales come from your eyes. Then you say, oh Lord, I was blind. But now I see. And you see, the devil's plan is to blind the hearts and minds of many people. You are blind. Anybody who walks in deception and delusion, you later find out, no man, I should have rather done this and done that. But it's the blinding of Satan. You must be careful of his blinding. He actually uses the same tricks over and over and over again. But somehow, because we are so silly and so foolish and so blind, we fall into the same ditch. Others fell into that ditch already. So it's written in the word, the ditches where people fall into. But you also fall into the same ditch. Hey. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. And God wants us to have a heart of forgiveness. Even if people come against you and try to make your life miserable, may we have the heart of Jesus to say, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen. Bartimaeus, he sat by the roadside, and when he heard Jesus was passing by, he knew this was the one that could show mercy. And he shouted, O son of David, have mercy on me. Don't let me be judged. Let me escape the judgment of my wicked ways. A blind man. But he couldn't see me. In those years, they probably told him, you are blind because of your sin. Remember, the one man asked Jesus, what did this young man do? What sin did he do that he was sitting here and begging and being blind? So sometimes, or in the ancient world, this was this whole theory that your sin has paid you back. That's why Bartimaeus shouted, O son of David, have mercy on me. Al moet ek betaal vir my sonde, Here. Wees my genadig. Have mercy on me. May the Lord be merciful to all of us. What a prayer. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The second thing he said when he was on the cross is, this day you will be with me in paradise. And he was talking to two thieves hanging by his side. Are you listening? And this now not speaks of just the mercy, but now speaks of the grace of God. Hallelujah. Because the one thief, and this is not recorded in John, I think it's in Luke. The one thief shouted, if you are the Son of God, why don't you save yourself? You are such a great man. Why don't you free us all? And then the other one said to the first one, you must be quiet because this is a holy man. And then he perceived in the dying moments of his life that this man could give him away into eternity. And somehow, by divine Holy Spirit intervention, he knew something about Jesus that no man could know by being normal. He said, Lord, when you get into your paradise, remember me. Hey! He said to the thief next to the side, we don't deserve anything good. We deserve to die. But this man, he has done nothing. And look how they've accused him falsely. Look how they've crucified him. But then he knew that there was some power in Jesus. Amen. And he called to him and he said, Lord, remember me. Remember me. May it be your prayer that God must remember you. And then you see the greatest display of grace anyway in the Bible, because Jesus made a promise to him, and this was the second saying. He said, this day, not tomorrow, not next year, not the year after, this day. You don't need to be baptized. You don't need to join the church and become a BMI member. You don't need to go to the new believers class. I say to you, this day, you shall be with me in paradise. Clap for Jesus. Hallelujah. He said, Lord, but I don't speak in tongues yet. He said, don't worry. You don't even need to speak in tongues. But this day, you shall be with me in paradise. Hallelujah. You see, here's God's perfect plan. God knew man would fall. Although God made the beautiful heavens, the earth, and the gardens, and man, it wasn't that he was caught with a surprise. He knows everything. Does God know everything? So he even knew man would fall. And before the foundations of the world, there was a plan in place. There was a plan in place for the redemption of man. And in the heavens, they had a meeting to decide how will we deal with fallen man. And God chose what we call grace. Hallelujah. Grace means unmerited favor, or it could mean the goodness of God extended to undeserving people. Do you deserve anything? You deserve nothing. But whatever you have received is by the grace of God. That is what we call grace. Are you listening? So whenever you speak, and I like when I started to work with Bishop Dag, my pastor, and his people, they always added by the grace of God after everything they said. And I think it's beautiful. And I've also learned. It's almost like you say, tomorrow I will do this, tomorrow I will do that. The Bible says you don't know what tomorrow brings. It's by God's will. Or you can also say, by God's grace. So if I say, I'll see you on Sunday, I say, I'll see you on Sunday by God's grace. Because do I deserve to live another day? Not really. It's only by His grace. Hallelujah. The grace of God. The grace of God. The goodness of God extended to undeserving people. How many of you sitting here know how wicked you were? Hey! And how wicked you still are. Wicked sinners. Both you and me. But He came to you when you called on Him. Amen. He came to you when you called on Him. None of us are worthy of heaven, but God deals with us through His grace. How wonderful is His grace. Amen. God's chosen method of grace to deal with fallen man comes through the cross of Jesus. And He had no choice but to extend mercy because of His grace. His mercy endures forever. There's a new movie on the market called Paul the Apostle of Christ. I don't know how many of you had a chance to watch it. I think we were going to play it here, but the video department didn't do what they promised, but I'm sure they will wake up soon. In the movie, there's a lot of crosses on the roadside as the Romans used crucifixion oftentimes as a means of torture. You know why the crucifixion was used? It was a bad way of killing people, but it was also a warning to the others that's passing by. Because you see, the crucifixion, people didn't just die like Jesus died. Jesus' death was a unique death on the cross. People used to hang there for days. Are you listening? Die kraaie het al begin. The vultures came to sit already, waiting to pick out their eyes, because remember there was no movement. Their hands were nailed to the cross. The historians say that although some pictures show Jesus carrying a whole cross, the historians teach us that it was actually just the horizontal beam that He carried. The vertical beam was already in the ground placed for Him. Are you with me? But even the horizontal beam was very heavy. So much so that a black man called Simon of Cyrene was asked to help him to carry the cross. And somebody said, that's why the black people are still suffering today. Because it was a sign that Yele sal swakri. Oh, let it pass over us, Lord Jesus. Yele sal swakri, Yele sal kristra. So it was on that road. And when I was in Israel, some years ago, I saw this Via Della Rosa. It's now built up, but never modernized. It's still very like it was in the days, similar into the days of Jesus. Little narrow street. And everywhere where Jesus fell with the cross, there's a little monument. And that's how we went until they brought Him to the place where they had to lift Him up. But the hanging on the cross was a Roman way of killing people. The Romans introduced it. And they would hang sometimes for days and weeks. You see, so it was a surprise to Pilate when he heard that Jesus had died in such a short time. Jesus was sentenced to death 9 o'clock the morning. Actually before 9. Remember, Jesus was captured on Thursday night. Was taken to the high priest, the Jewish high priest, Caiaphas, to be interrogated. But Caiaphas had no power to kill, because although they were Jews, they lived under the Roman occupation. So the Romans had power to kill. So they took him from Caiaphas's house to Pilate early on Friday morning. This is this day, Friday, we are celebrating now. And it was early the morning. The Bible says when it became light, they were there. They said, hey, Pilate, this guy does this. He must be killed. Pilate said, look. Is he a Galilean? Herod is here. Herod is visiting Jerusalem from his area. He's another, every area had a Roman leader, a Roman proconsul. And he was the, Pilate was in Jerusalem. Herod was from Galilee. So they first sent him to Herod. And Herod said, I long to see you. But he uttered not a word to Herod. Then Herod sent him back to Pilate. And Pilate said, I also find no fault in him. But the people were demonized. Church people were demonized. Demons were working in the church leaders. Why do you think it's strange when we teach on loyalty and disloyalty? Because demons work through church people. They did it in the days of Jesus. They do it also today. And then the people said, no. Pilate said, I will free him, because normally one of your prisoners are freed. And then some demonic person shouted, but if you must free one, free Barabbas. Crucify Jesus. But he said, for what must I crucify him for? There's nothing. And then an accusation came. Now you must know that accusations are dangerous. They accuse Pilate that he was not a friend of Caesar. And on an accusation, he changed his mind from freeing Jesus to crucifying him. And said, let do with him what you want. I will then release Barabbas. So be careful not to accuse people, because an accusation is a poison from the pit of hell. It's the greatest thing that destroys churches today, accusations. You can accuse me of something I didn't do wrong, but it will affect me so much, because it's a demonic arrow that can change my whole ministry. Are you with me? You say, pastor this, pastor that, then I don't do the things just to please you. Subconsciously. Like the one brother who was praying for a woman, and his wife was an accuser. And the wife said, every time you pray for this sister, you lay hands longer on her than the others. But it wasn't true. But it was an accusation. And so the next time the sisters came for prayer again, the sister always came for prayer. Then the husband remembered the accusation of the wife. And he laid hands on everybody. But when he came to this sister, it was just a touch. And then he went on to the next one. Because the accusation was like an arrow of poison ready to kill him. Are you listening? But it was the accusation of Pilate that made Jesus, that made him change his mind. You are not a friend of Caesar. Hallelujah. May the grace of the Lord be with you, and may the grace of Jesus, it is what will save you from your wickedness. Only by grace are we saved. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. And I think it's for that reason why we must never think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. Remembering by grace we are saved. Hallelujah. It's a free gift of God. Nothing can be added. Nothing can be taken away. It is only by grace. Are you excited about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? Then number four. Sorry, what did I give you? Two. Number three. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And this speaks about the price Jesus paid. Why hast thou forsaken me? Did God forsake Jesus when he was hanging on the cross, God the Father? The answer is yes. He only forsook him in the capacity that he would not deliver him from the cross. Because he was bearing the sin penalty of humanity for the past, the present, and the future. How many of you knows that the earth grew dark when Jesus was on the cross? And if you study your history books, there's a big study in history that the earth grew dark up to Egypt, right up to Mesopotamia, because the people in Egypt also say that there was that specific day of the death of Jesus. Their skies were all dark. They thought it was the lunar eclipse of the moon. But for 3 hours, when it had to be day like now, suddenly darkness came upon the earth. Jesus was sentenced to death at 9. He died at 3 o'clock the afternoon. So somewhere between those 6 hours, there was 3 hours of darkness. Are you listening? It was the time when God forsook Jesus. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the hymn writer said, when he turned his face from this, that he couldn't, God cannot look at sin. God and sin is not together. That's why a sinner cannot enter into hell, into heaven. He can only go to hell. You must be saved. You must be washed. Your sins must be washed in the blood. Otherwise, you can't come to God. Amen. And the blood of Jesus can cleanse you from all your sins. Hallelujah. People, don't be surprised if you go to hell one day. Because you heard me say that it's only the blood of Jesus that can wash your sins away. Are you listening? Tommy Seiden used to sing a song, Pilate called for a basin of water to wash his hands to be free from his blame. But the wrong he has done still tormented, and many people are doing the same. Oh, you cannot find cleansing in water, for your sins and your guilt stay today. It's only in the blood of Jesus that there is power to wash your sins away. Hallelujah. May you find his blood that wash your sins. Before it is too late. Before it is too late. The price that was paid. Why did God forsake him? He was bearing the sin of the world on him. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we can become the righteousness of God. Say amen. Amen. If you stand and you feel all washed and clean, remember Jesus took your sin on him. The penalty for sin was on him. Hallelujah. If God had to save him from the cross, then you and I would not be here today. Amen. And if you look back into the Levitical priesthood, you will see that there was two types of offerings. You know, we are Bible school teachers, so we are a little deep. We can't help it if you don't understand what we're talking about. Join our Bible school. Sunday afternoons at 4 o'clock. There were many offerings in the Old Testament. One of it was called the sin offering. The sin offering was when anybody brought a lamb to the priest because of the sins that they committed. Say now you slept with your boyfriend, but he's not your husband. It's called fornication. Then the next day you must go find a lamb somewhere to bring to the priest. Isn't it right? And then you must lay your hands on the animal. So your fornication now goes into the lamb. Hey! And then the lamb goes onto the altar. And the priest has to cut the neck of the lamb so that blood can flow, you see. And when the lamb is dead, it is you that has died in the place. The lamb is a substitute for you. That's why I sang this morning, he was my substitute. For me, he died. And if the lamb is cut, your sin is transferred onto the lamb. Hey, think about your sins. And now it must be. Imagine all the lambs here this morning. If we were still in the Levitical time, this church would have been a noise of meh, meh. But then there was another offering. Listen. The burnt offering, the whole burnt offering. You brought another lamb. Hallelujah. But this time, it wasn't your sin being transferred onto the lamb. This time, the righteousness of God was transferred onto the lamb. And the lamb was set free to run into the bushes. Amen. So that is why the chorus writer said, He took your sin and you gave he gave you his righteousness. Hallelujah. I'm not righteous because I have a nice suit on or because I've washed and I look clean. Water can't cleanse me. It's the blood that has cleansed me. And it is the right. I am now the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. And when anybody wants to tell you that remember your past, then you must say, no, but God does not remember my past. The Bible says he removes my past as far as the east is from the west. And he throws my sin into the deepest sea. And he remembers it no more. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man is in Christ, if any woman is in Christ, they become new people. Die ou dinge gaan verby. En alles word nuut. Hallelujah. Yes, he said these words. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He forsook him because he became the sin offering for you. Are you listening to me? Oh, laat ek klaar maak. Ek lyk my nie gaat alles kan doen nie. Next Good Friday, next year, I'll do part 2. Amen. Once you give God your son, don't take it back. Once you've laid the sin on the lamb, don't take it back. And when they want to remind you of your sin, say, I don't know that person. So one day, Benin was telling the story. He said, Catherine Kuhlman was preaching in a large meeting like this, you see, larger than this. And somebody who knew her from her past came to her after the service and said, they preach so lekker. You preach so nice to the people, but do they know that you did this and this and that when you were, when I knew you in 1947? She said, that person has died long time ago. This is a new person standing here. Hallelujah. The sin offering is gone. The whole new burnt offering is here. Praise the Lord. I rush. He said one more thing. He said, son, he was hanging on the cross and he looked and beheld his mother. And there was also John, the teenage disciple who followed him. And then he said, son, here is your mother. And he said to John, mother, here is your son. And what is God saying to us to that saying of Jesus? He's saying that provision was made at the cross for you. Are you listening? Jesus made provision that his mother would be cared for after he was gone. Are you listening? And I want to tell you that all that you ever need is in the cross of Jesus Christ. May we never grow too modern to not know that it was at the cross, when I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. Amen. All you ever needed is in Jesus. Your promotion, your needs, your desires, you will find it at the cross. Come and give your life at the cross and he will care for you. Amen. God will take care of you. You don't have to worry. You don't have to fear. The Bible says, Jesus said, son, here is your mother. And mother, here is your son. God will take care of you. Mama, jy sal nie honger wees nie. Die Here sal vir jou sorg. If he looks after the lilies of the field, surely God will look after you. If he looks after the sparrows, you come to him. I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread, because God takes care of his own. Hallelujah. And God will take care of you. Mother, here is your son. Son, here is your mother. What is your need? God will look after you. Amen. Number 5, he says, I thirst. A short saying of Jesus. He said, I thirst. Many of you are thirsting for something. But Jesus promised living water. He said to the woman in John chapter 4, if you drink of the water that I shall give, you will never thirst again. I will quench you from your thirsting. Amen. The cross breaks all addictions in your life. Hallelujah. Some of you here might still be struggling with alcohol. And we are not laughing about it. Look, sometimes I joke a lot, but I know. I have never drank alcohol or smoked cigarettes. But I'm not here to say that you must just leave it. I know that demonic and addictions is very hard to break. Some people get instant delivery. Others don't get instant delivery. And we are not here to judge and say, jy moet regkom. Sy sal nie weet wat dit is om verslaaf te wees nie. Even drug addicts, I'm sure many of of the children who give their lives to Christ, once they're in the drugs, it becomes some of them are instantaneously delivered. I don't always understand how, but then others struggle. But it's at the cross. You see, the drugs and the wine and the woman and the pornography, it replaced the thirst for the living water. You were thirsting for something and you didn't know what it is, and you went to the wrong place. And you were caught in a trap. Now you can't leave it. Hey, I've seen big people shake. They can't stand still. They shake as the alcohol has messed up the nervous system. I've seen wonderful, lovely women, but they can't get rid of the cigarette. They can't. I offer a dag op en môre skief hy my visie. It's very hard. But you, at the cross, you can have find the water, the thirst that Jesus spoke about. It will fill your thirsty soul and you will thirst no more. Amen. Yes, my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Quench the thirsting of my soul. Your soul is thirsting. Neighbor, your soul is thirsting. But you'll find it at the cross. I don't have a desire for castle, for Stuyvesant. But I can be in his presence. And I'm like a man that's drinking from living waters. Living waters. I don't have a desire for discos or gum gum parties. No such desire is in me, because my cup is filled. I lift it up. Lord, quench the thirsting in my soul. You will thirst after Jesus. And then he said, it is finished. It is finished. Three greatest words ever uttered. It is finished. It means the law of God has been satisfied. No more animal sacrifices. No. Redemption is now available for everyone. The curtain was very heavy in the temple. They said they had to use four yokes of oxen to pull such a curtain to pieces. But God split the curtain from the top to the bottom. Not from the bottom to the top. Otherwise, they could have said a man made the cut. But the curtain tore from the top to the bottom. In saying that no longer do you need to go to your pastor for forgiveness of sins. In those days, you had to go to the pastor. Now you can come straight to God. Because the veil is torn. You can enter into the Holy of Holies. It was only preserved for the priests to go there to sprinkle the blood for your sins. Now it is open. So when he was on the cross, he said, it is finished. The right word is, it is completed. The law, no man could hold the law. Jesus was the only one. And now that the law has been perfected, there's no more need for the law. It is finished. It is finished. Hallelujah. Beautiful. Hallelujah. My salvation is complete in Jesus. And then he said, into your hands I commend my spirit. This was the seventh saying of Jesus. Into your hands I give my spirit. I commit my spirit. This is talking about eternal life. Every person who says the name of Jesus, when death comes, can say, into your hands I commit my spirit. When you're lying on your deathbed and you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you don't have to be afraid of death. Death is a fearful river that you must cross. But you don't have to be afraid if you have Jesus. Because you will say, like Jesus said these words, you say, into your hands, I release my spirit. Hallelujah. The body will go to the earth, but the spirit will go back to God from where it comes from. There is an answer for sin. Jesus is the answer. And he will set you free today. Bow your heads in prayer. Here's my cup, Lord. Mala boshta kaya baha.
Come and quench the thirst in all my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more.
Can we prepare the table, pastors?
Yes, my cup.
Ushers, get ready.
Fill it up and make me whole.
Let us all stand. All stand. We're going to partake of the table.
Yes, my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench
the thirsty of my soul.
Bread of heaven.
Ashes, get ready. Get ready.
Feed me
till I want no more. Yes, my cup. Fill it up.
Make me whole.